Right, so if you will please turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be at Mark chapter 14. So if you turn there. Now as we get into our study this morning, we're going to be covering verses 1 through 9 of Mark 14. Let's read. It says, let me give you a little intro. Here in chapter 14, we're looking at Jesus' last week before he actually is crucified. In our text, we're going to look at a story that some of you may be familiar with, which is the alabaster box when Mary breaks that. And we're going to be looking at three different points of view, vantage points of people in that room when she did what she did. So we're going to see what the Lord thinks. We're going to see what the people in that room thought, and we're going to see what she did. So with all that, let's read verse 1, Mark 14. After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. Verse 3. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant amongst themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it may have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. 6. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. 8. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, verse 9, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. The title of my message this morning is called, It's Never a Waste. Now, from our text we just read, we know on the account of this same story from John 12, that in that room, if we put something in our mind's eye, we have Simon the leper, his house. We have Jesus there at the table. We have the disciples, amongst them Judas. We know that from John 12. And Lazarus, too. Lazarus, the one that was dead. Lazarus, the one that Jesus brought back to life. They were all there. And there comes Mary and breaks the flask. Now, I have to wonder what the conversation must have been like when you're hanging out with somebody that was dead for 4 days. Think about it. It's like he was dead for 4 days. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. What were the questions? I know what my questions would have been. What was it like? Dude, you were dead. But you were like really dead. Like 4 days. I mean, there's no like my heart stopped and they brought me back. No, you were dead. They said that you smelled bad. That was how dead you were. What's it like to be dead, Lazarus? What's it like to come back to life? When you heard Lazarus come forth, what was that like? What was like Abraham's bosom? What was it like? I mean, think about the conversation. I'll be taking selfies with him and posting them on Instagram. You know that. Really, it's like, I met Lazarus. Yeah, one of the very few in the world history that came back to life. Well, Jesus brought back to life, that is. I wonder what it was. But we know it's the big boys. The big boys are in that room. The 12, they've been now hanging out with Jesus 3 years. They've seen miracles. They've seen many things. They've been used by the Lord. There's Lazarus who came back, right? The Lord brought him back to life. And there's Jesus, the King of the universe. Talk about a meeting, right? Some people think, oh, that board meeting with the CEO of here and there and the other. What about that meeting? What about that conversation with the God of the universe? And there it comes. So let's dissect this, if we will. And being in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, verse 3, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Now, an alabaster box, you may know, it was like a little, like a long neck little bottle. Not big, pretty small. And obviously she had it. The spikenard was a very costly oil that was imported from India. So somehow everybody in that room knew what she had in there and what it was. I read that the smell of this oil was very strong and pleasant. So it would be something that they would put in very small amounts in their bodies, and you knew you were wearing. So think about a very costly, like perfume, like ointment. And it says that, verse 3, that, you know, very costly oil of spikenard, and then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. Now, there's a meeting. There's all the big guys. And there comes a lady. We know it's Mary. And she breaks this costly oil and pours it on Jesus' head. It's like, wow. I wonder what she would have thought. I'm walking into this room as a lady, and I'm going to pour it on him. But you see, if you know much about Mary, Mary was very used to hanging out with Jesus. If you know the story of Mary and Martha, when they were having Jesus over for dinner, it says that Martha was working while Mary was at his feet. When Lazarus died and Jesus came back, both Martha and Mary were weeping. And it says that, then I think it's John 11, that Mary went and wept at Jesus' feet because she had lost her brother. Remember the famous, if you would have been here, he would not die. Mary is very used to, very familiar, hanging out with Jesus at his feet, doing something that not, we don't read a lot about Peter at Jesus' feet, do we? Or Judas. We know John was in his bosom at the Last Supper, but, you know, she's has that intimacy, that relationship with Jesus that it's different. Now, she comes in this room, be it whoever might be in that room, she comes in and is like, here it is, on Jesus' head. See, not for the show. It's something that she was used to do. It's who she was. She loved Jesus. And by the way, if Jesus brings back your brother after 4 days of being dead, wouldn't you do that? Oh my goodness, what kind of connection you have. Lord, you brought my brother back to life. Of course. So she comes in, she breaks it, and she pours it on his head. Verse 4, but there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? Now, we know that the guy that led the charge on that argument, indignant, was Judas. And why was this fragrant oil wasted? The title of my message says, it's never a waste. Whenever we do something for the Lord, whatever it might cost us, it is never a waste. People may call it a waste. We have it here in our story. Oh, that was a waste. No, it wasn't. It's for the Lord. Now, we know it was Judas who brought the accusation. That word waste there, I got this from Wiersbe. The word waste there is the same word that is used of him in John 17, 12 as the son of perdition. So why was this a perdition, he would have said. And he was called the son of perdition. See, Judas, get it together, buddy. This is not a waste. Tenderly, you are the waste. See, he didn't know. He didn't understand. Those guys in that room that judged her did not understand where she had been, what she had been through, the relationship that she had with Jesus. It was beyond them, right? They could have had it with them, but she was at a different level. It was her and her Lord, and it was precious. Now, think about that. You know, she's being judged as, that was a waste. That was a waste. It's never a waste. It's never a waste. Whenever we do something for the Lord, it is never a waste. 5. For it had been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. Now, I researched, and 300 denarii would have been like a year's wages for an average worker or employee. So in 2017, in the United States, the average employee made $44,000 and change, almost $45,000. That's the average. So if you take it to 2018 numbers, if you would, she's dropping about $45,000 on Jesus. Now, that's a lot of cash. Practicality would say, as Judas, what a waste. What a waste. $45,000. I can see that. I can see how people say, man, you can do so much with $45,000. You can do so much. And Judas is like, hey, that could have been for the poor. Can't you almost hear the spirituality, like the, oh, Lord, remember the meeting? Everybody's there. Lord, what do you think about this idea? How about if we would have used those $45,000 for the poor, right, Jesus? Now, Jesus' word is classic. It says, for it had been sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor, and they criticized her sharply. So now Judas led the charge. Now everybody in that room is dogging her, is coming down on her, is judging her sharply. Now, how would you feel if you were in Mary's sandals? She just came in, she did something out of the ordinary for her Lord, and at this moment, she's being criticized. See, from back to the three vantage points, from her point of view, she's just worshiping her Lord. From the point of view of the Judas and company, she's wasted a bunch of money. But now, we get the point of view that really matters, which is Jesus's. Now listen to this, watch. But Jesus said, I have that word, those three words highlighted in my Bible. But Jesus said. See, you've said what you had to say, Judas. Mary, you did what you had to do. Now let me say something. See, God's word, Jesus' word is God's, it's final. He has the final word, and he will always have the final word. He's going to come. He's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. We're going to come with him. He's going to be the king of the world, the king of the universe. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. He's going to call the shots. Evil is going to be done away with in the lake of fire. We're going to be in the new Jerusalem. We're in heaven. He wins. You can bank on that. Now, but Jesus said, what does he say? Let her alone. Now, again, back to Mr. Spiritual. I could have been sold for the poor, right? Lord, leave her alone. Leave her alone. Now, when the God of the universe tells you, leave her alone, you leave her alone. Yeah. Okay? Let's just put that in perspective. It's God. Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. Leave her alone. Now, did you notice that in this text, Mary is not defending herself? She just walked in. She poured the oil. I don't see a record of three accounts in the Bible that says, well, you don't tell me what to do. No. I mean, I know if it was me, I would have taken the glass from the flask and chuck it at Judas. I mean, what are you doing, man? No. There's no record that she said anything. The Lord handled it. She did something good for the Lord, and the Lord dealt with the backlash. I wonder if sometimes we're so concerned what other people might think. Oh, but I can't do this or do that, or what would that look like? Well, if you're doing it for the Lord, with the motives in your heart for the Lord's putting that in your heart, you do it. Oh, but what are they going to say? What are they going to think? Let the Lord deal with the backlash. He has the final word. He wins. Right? Remember Peter? John 21 is like, Peter, you love me, you love me. Yeah, I do. Okay, feed my sheep. But what about John? It's like, let me worry about John. You follow me. Mary did it. The Lord is like, let her alone. Don't mess with her if you would. She has done a good work for me. Now, the third view, a waste, a worship, a good work. Now, if you were to take anybody's opinion of what she did, I would like to take Jesus' opinion. People are going to say what they want to say. But what does God think? What does he say about our work for him? Because it says here, she has done a good work. What Jesus says is what really matters. Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar. So Judas, you can judge, and you disciples, yeah, you jumped in the wagon too. Let God be true and every man a liar. She has done a good work for me. That's the key. In our room, in our meeting, with all the things that what the Lord says is what matters. And if you would, the CEO, the owner, the king of the universe says, that was good. End of discussion. But it was a waste, they said. Now, you never really know by looking at something the motives. As a human being, I am guilty of sometimes looking at somebody doing this, walking there, doing that, and I go like, that's kind of weird. Why are they doing that? You could do it so much better this way. Let me tell you a story about, much to my shame. We moved about a year ago to this neighborhood, and as we were driving in one day, there's this kid, he's about 12 years old, who had a lemonade stand. You know how they say lemonade? The powdered lemonade? It's hot outside. It's always hot, anyway. I'm learning that. 6 months. And I'm driving with my family in the car, and he's selling lemonade on one of those hoverboards. You know the hoverboards, the ones that have two wheels? Those were really expensive. And I tell my wife, I'm like, he doesn't need money. He's in a hoverboard. What's that, like a Texas thing? Well, what is this? Obviously, you're not hurting for money. So I just kept driving. I've never bought a lemonade anyway from any of those, but I just kept driving. Well, as the Lord is so faithful to humble us, my wife is in this Facebook group for our neighborhood. And we came to find out that the reason this boy was selling lemonade, ready to feel bad about me? Okay. It's because he is one of six siblings, and his sister had, thank God, cancer. And his mom was driving to Dallas daily for treatment and things. So he was basically just raising funds to help his mom. Yeah, I felt so bad. I thought I lost my salvation. I'm like, wow, how could Pastor Raul think so? But you see, all I saw, I judged by the look driving by. I'm like, that must be nice. I don't have one of those. Oh, but there is so much more to the story, Raul. You don't understand. Now, the Lord is faithful to humble you, and he's faithful to give you a chance to redeem it. Recently, because it's always hot, he was back on the hoverboard, I think. And we came up, and this time it's like, not today. I passed him. I turned around. I'm like, my wife, Brittany, I said, whatever you have, give it to him. Now, I'm not saying that so you go like, wow, Raul is so spiritual. No. I come from a broken place. I judge this kid. And I'm like, she's like, what? I'm like, I don't know how much it was in the wallet, but just give it. Just do it. Oh, do you want a lemonade? And I'm like, sure. That thing was, I mean, it's powdered stuff. And he's like, oh. I'm like, sure. You want more? No, just one. We don't want the lemonade. See, I'm repenting right now, man. Right? Well, good news is that the little girl is in remission. Praise the Lord. And I'm now forgiven. So that's two things. I'm in good shape. But you never know. You just never know. We know from Judas's account that he kept the money. And if you know, he sold Jesus for money. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He was just into money. See that? It's like, but you just never know. Mary can say, you don't know where I've been. I mean, you probably know in your head, but you don't know what it felt like to not have a brother for 4 days. That grieving process. You don't know when I threw myself at his feet weeping. You don't know what that was like. You don't know what it was like when we said, come, Lord, come. If you would have been here, you don't know. You don't know that when my sister was complaining about me not helping, I was just listening to him that night at dinner. You don't know. I do. I understand. And the $45K or whatever you want to put price, that very costly thing, you don't get it. But the Lord does. She's done a good work for me. They didn't get it, but the Lord did. Jesus defended her. She didn't defend herself. She let the Lord handle it. He sorted it out. Verse 7, for you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. That's true. The Lord's last week. She was not probably going to get another shot. She had a few days to do something out of the ordinary, extraordinary for the Lord. Verse 8, she has done what she could. This is the verse that spoke to my heart the heaviest a few weeks back when I was going through it. And I'm like, ooh, she has done what she could. See, I used to think this way, and I'm growing up on this, that whenever I want to do something for the Lord, I compare myself to people. Well, I can't sing like they do, or I can preach or talk like they do. I'm not as funny as they are. I'm not as tall. You know, whatever. The Lord here gives her the credit. It's like she's done what she could. I'm not judging her on how successful she is compared to Beth Moore. I'm not comparing Raul to how successful or fruitful his ministry is against Greg Laurie, which, by the way, you should be praying for, because he has Harvest the third night in Southern California. Just a little commercial there. See, we compare ourselves. That's in our minds. Well, I can't sing. I can't do. I'm not connected. I don't know them. Do what you can for the Lord. He's not demanding that you fill stadiums or you know, when you sing, angels literally show up during worship and fly around. No. He's like, she's done what she could. She's done what she could. That's it. She had $45K worth of ointment. Okay, give it to the Lord. Now, I am not in any way saying give everything that you have money-wise to the Lord, go clear your bank accounts. That is not what I'm saying at all. This text, that's not what it's saying. It's saying she did what she could. What she had, she used. And if you look at, you know, Bible, you know, characters, you look at Moses. Moses had a rod. The Lord is like, with that rod, you'll do my wonders. I'll use the rod. You're a shepherd, Moses. I shaped you 40 years in the back of the desert. You're ready. Let's go. David is like, I killed lions and bears. He's like, I'll take on the giant. Cool. I'll use this sling. Peter, I'm a fisher. I'm a fisherman. Okay, I'll make you a fisher of man. Uneducated, unskilled Peter. You read an Acts, and that guy is on fire by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you look at Mary. She had a flask, little bottle. She used it for the Lord. She did what she could. They did what they could. I have 4 kids. 7, almost 6, but 5, 3, and 5 months tomorrow. Everett, little Everett. And as they grow up, if you have kids, if you have had younger kids, you know they start drawing and coloring and they do scribbles. And those first ones are precious to you. When they come from school, that first day of kindergarten, is, I did this for you, Dad. It's like, oh, frame it. Frame it. It might be just a scribble. They may have spilled, you know, juice on that page. But to you and to me, that's priceless. I have my wife for Father's Day. She got three wood letters, D-A-D, which spell dad, by the way. And she had really good at that, spelling bee. They each painted one of the letters. And you can see the one Eli painted and the one Cambria painted and the one Selah painted. And they are, if you take that to a gallery in France or somewhere, it's not going to make the cut. They're going to be like, this is trash, right? But to me, they're in my office on the top shelf. Every time I study, I read, I prepare, I look, it's right there. Dad. Colors, missing stuff, all smushed. I mean, it's just not pretty. But to me, they're precious. See, they're little. They're no artist. They did what they could. To them, it was a lot of work. Their dad, their father, says, precious, awesome, love it. It's going to be on the top shelf. Now, that's me being evil, right? Jesus says, you being evil, know how to give good gifts. It gets how much more your Heavenly Father. I wonder, our work for him, our deeds for him, our service for him may be spotty, choppy, messed up, missed a word, dropped the offering, you know? It's precious to him because we're doing what we can. You see? I heard a crazy story of Big Calvary, how Big Calvary, you know, they have a couple thousand people in the church. And for a communion service, imagine serving communion to 2,000 people simultaneously. It was trays upon trays, and Pastor Chuck used to hold them and give them to each usher. The ushers are carrying these things like, do not trip. I mean, that thing, they're filled with, you know, grape juice. I mean, wow. And there was like three or four guys that are, they call it the wall of shame, that dropped that in the middle of the service. How would you like to be on that? But they did what they could. See? They did what they could. She did what she could. She has come, but verse 8, she has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. You don't understand what she's done. But when I'm on that cross, about a week from now, some of that ointment is going to be on me. Not the ointment you gave me, Judith, or Peter. Uh-uh. It's hers. It's eternal. She has done what she could. I have a friend. Well, I have a lot of friends. But I have a friend that, his name is Sam. He went to, you guys know the Hershey chocolates? Has anybody ever? Okay. Yeah, they're pretty famous. They're in Hershey, Pennsylvania. That's where it all came out of. There's a park and everything. Well, my friend Sam, who's a pastor, moved there. And the founder of the owner of Hershey, Mr. Hershey, I don't know his name, before he died, he set up this fund, like about $9 billion fund in a separate account, he set up this organization where they build homes in this massive land that they own over there in Hershey, Pennsylvania, which I've been to. It's really impressive. And they build homes that host about 15 kids per home, underprivileged, poor, orphaned kids. And what they do is that they feed them. They live there full time. So they feed them, they clothe them, and they hire parents, so of which my friend Sam is, to help them with school, to cook for them, to guide them in the ways of the Lord. And the way this guy set up this fund is like when you have $9 billion in the bank, the interest rates on that are pretty good. So it's a perpetual fund. It will not run out as far as the dollar is in business, right? So it started with one, and now there's, I think, I don't know, 50, 60 homes. I went there, it's incredible. And I talked to my friend Sam, I was there a year ago, and I saw the entire thing. I'm like, this is incredible. He's like, yeah. I'm like, this is the guy in heaven, Mr. Hershey, that he walks in and is like, his rewards are following him forever. So he probably shows up one day, oh, there's a pool today, showed up. You know, there's a new car. I mean, I'm being funny, but you know what I mean? It's like what he did on earth with the eyes in eternity is still going. And people and kids and families are being changed and touched. He did what he could with what he had. It's that simple. It's obviously he had a lot, so he used what he had. We have little, we just have our skill set. We can just smile to people, great people. The Lord sees that. And it's not like you're bigger or better than that other one because Mr. Hershey has billions, and what about you, Raul? No, it's like he did it for me, a good work for me. Now, Mary, she has done a good work for me. It's not a waste. We can do a good work for him with what you have. And again, I'm not talking funds. Your life, your service. God has gifted each one of us with something. Use what you can for the Lord. In Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. You give me your life, as inadequate and insecure you may feel. You are my child. What you do for me is precious, and watch me use it for my glory. That's reality. Mary did what she could. And the Lord's like, that was a good work. No, but I don't know, but I don't know, but I don't know. God doesn't, I have a quote, my mother-in-law gave me this plaque, I have it in my office right there. It says, God doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. Pretty good. I like it. I called you. I will give you what you need. I will equip you. Let him do the work in you. Back to our room. Judas and guys complaining. Mary, whew, being vindicated by the Lord. Jesus defending her. But Jesus saw her heart. See? Jehovah El Roy, the God who sees. There in Genesis 16:13 with Hagar, you know, he's the God who sees. He sees your heart. He sees my heart. He knows right where we're at. He knows what we want to do for him. He sees it. He is El Roy. He saw right through it. It's like, what she's done for me. It's not for her. She didn't want to have the spotlight and the big meeting with all the big, you know, wheels and say, yeah, watch me, boys. No. She's done it. I see El Roy, the God who sees. I see her. I see what she did. He sees you. He sees me. He sees. I sat for years and like, man, I want to do something, but I just can't speak. I can't do this. I don't know anybody. And it's like, it's the God who sees. You let the Lord take over and you watch the ride. It's awesome. See, we're going to read in a minute here that she's going to be remembered forever. And by the way, 2,000 years later, we're talking about her. See? Because God's word never fails. He has the final word. He said it would happen. Jesus said, and it is happening. Now, you're going to use that money. You're going to blow that flask. You're going to use your youth. You're going to go on that mission trip. You're going to be a missionary when you have all this and that and the other working for you. Yeah. Oh, wow, that's foolish. You go to school and get a career, make a couple hundred thousand bucks a year and buy a house by the lake. That's it. No, but God has called me to go serve people. Oh, you know the quote from Jim Elliot, right? To the Aka Indians, his dad was there. I mean, he went there to serve the Aka Indians in Ecuador, and somebody called him a fool. He's like, you're a fool. You're wasting your youth. He replied, he's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Eyes on eternity. Eyes on eternity. He sees our hearts. He knows it is never a waste when we do it for him. Now, if you want to look a little deeper, Jesus says in Luke 12:48 that to whom much is given, much is required. You think she was given much? I mean, just her brother back to life, right? But I look at my life. We're blessed. We are really blessed. God has placed us in a God-fearing Bible-teaching church, which is rare to find nowadays in 2018. It is. We have an awesome group of people. We're blessed. But you see, here's my fear, and we're almost done. But here's what I'm looking as I'm reading this passage, as I'm looking at the story, and I'm seeing everything. I see a guy, Judas, who for 3 years walked with Jesus, taught by the God of the universe ministry. He saw the 4,000 fed, and he saw the 5,000 fed. He saw Jesus walk on water. He saw Jesus calm the storm. Was he there when he called Lazarus forth from the grave? Probably, but if he wasn't, at least he got to see him right there in that room. He's like, oh, there's the guy that was dead. He was there. Son of perdition. He blew it. See, it doesn't mean that because we agree or we are part of or we say yes and we not, that we are actually engaged and believe and follow what we agree with. Think about Judas. He blew it. He's complaining about the waste, and he's the one being called the waste. Think about it. Think about it. I have to wonder, could that be us? Could that be us? Could we be the ones that, in the name of practicality, say, oh, come on, Raul, let's be practical. Let's do this and then the others, all while you're here. Oh, what are they doing, a hoverboard selling lemonade? No. Let the kingdom, God's going to save who God's going to save. Let him do the work, right? He'll draw all men to me, so I don't have to do anything. Could that be me? Could that be us? When we're spoiled, because we are. When we're blessed, because we are. Judas was. He was there. I'll encourage you to take the plunge, to pull a Mary, if you would. Not a Hail Mary, because that's football. A Mary. And break the flask. Step out. Step out in faith. Do a good work for him. Because it is for him. Verse 9, and we're almost done. Second time. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial. August 19th, 2018. We're talking about it. God has the final word. Let God be true and every man a liar. We're talking about Mary 2,000 years. We remember Mary for all the right reasons, don't we? But don't we remember Judas for all the wrong reasons? That's sad. I pray that we will have a Mary-like mind and keep our eyes on eternity. Keep our eyes on the goal. There's much work to be done for the Lord. He sees you. He's Jehovah El Roy. He knows where you're at. He knows everything about you. He's acquainted with all of your ways, Psalm 139. He sees you waking up and laying down. Wherever you are, he sees you. He sees you. He knows. And I have to ask, is anybody in this room this morning that perhaps you find yourself in Judas's side of things? Not son of perdition, not that you're going to go to hell or anything like that, but are you lost? Have you, in the name of practicality or, you know, church is the one thing we do, and that's it, forgotten the relationship part? Are you going to heaven? Are you saved? I have to ask. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for this story. We thank you for Mary and the good work that she did for you. I pray, Lord, that you will give us that mind, that heart, that desire to follow you and do the extraordinary for you, whatever that may look like. I pray, Lord, you enable us and you call us to do what we can because you see our hearts, Elroy. I pray, Lord, that every life in this room and listening on the internet and in the lobby will not by any means be wasted, but be used for your glory. And as our eyes are closed, heads are bowed, I have to ask, is anybody in this room who needs Jesus? Perhaps your life has been wasted up until this point, and you say, I need to be saved. I need a new start. Jehovah Elroy sees me here, and I need Jesus. Is there anyone? Would you please raise your hand? I would love to pray for you. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray you seal it in our hearts. I think it will take root and it will bring forth fruit according to your power and spirit. Bless, Lord. We thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name. After service, if you're here for the first time, we'd love to meet you. In the lobby, a welcome center. Please come and visit us. Also, there will be people here at the front for anybody that needs prayer. They'll be here. If you have any questions, come up. We'd love to talk to you. God bless you.